Please take your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 through 18 this morning. And let's ask God for wisdom before we study this passage here together. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for giving us your word and everything we need for life and godliness. I pray that you would use this passage in our lives today to make us more like Jesus, to encourage us, challenge us, and be willing to do what you call us to do. We pray in his name. Amen. I've entitled my message this morning, Doing What God Commands. Doing What God Commands. You ever thought about what's the appeal of making robots? I mean, why are we investing millions or billions, probably even trillions by this point, of dollars into robots? You ever thought about that? Why? Okay, but usually it's making them do stuff that we can do. It's right? Why would you make, you know, spend all that money for a person that could do it? All right? Because they're lazy. Okay, there might be something to that. People aren't doing the job they should be doing very well. Okay? Any other reasons why people are making robots? Okay, so it frees people up, right? Yeah. They can do a job maybe more efficiently or more consistently and maybe do it exactly as they're told rather than this, you know, this free-thinking mind that we have that, we'll do it, you know, our way. And the human error element, we're trying to eliminate that. And then, of course, then there's the fear that they're going to get smarter than us and take over the world. But in Joshua 1, 10 through 18, we find Joshua commanding the people to do what God is commanding them to do, right? And there's a lot to learn about obeying God for today. And we're not robots, but people made in God's image. And he wants people to love and obey him. So it's not about programming us to do right. It's challenging us to do what God has commanded us to do. Last week we studied from previous verses how to boldly serve the Lord by following the phases of accept the task, right? Joshua is to divide the land as God swore to give. And for us, it's to make disciples, to live holy lives as he calls us to. Will we accept that task? Secondly, to obey the Bible. Joshua is to obey all the law. And what he had at that point was the Torah. For us, we have the whole completed Word of God. And we are to obey all of it. And as we do, we will prosper as well, just as he was promised. Not only eternally in salvation, but in this life as well. We'll be blessed as we do what God calls us to do. And then lastly, third phase, to resist the fears. Joshua was to not be afraid or dismayed because God was with him. And he is with us as well. Right? He promises to never leave or forsake us, that he will be with us to the end of the age. And that's for helping us in the task of making disciples and helping us to resist the challenges of covetousness and looking around and thinking all the things we don't have. Instead, we need to focus on what we do have, which is Christ. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is all we need. Now Joshua turns to exhort the Israelites. And from his instructions, I think we can learn about doing what God commands, moving through three stages in verses 10 through 18. I think it's interesting, there's a very much an optimistic tone to this chapter as he sets out to do what God calls. There's so much potential, right? The land lies before them. And yet, as we will see, it never quite pans out. Let's not be like that, right? So we began this thinking about standing on the edge of opportunity. Let's do what God commands, not half-heartedly or, you know, partially. Instead, do all of it. So what are these stages as we think about doing what God commands? First stage, prepare to obey in verses 10 and 11. It says, Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, Prepare provisions for yourself, and for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go and to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Joshua is commanding the officers of the people. These are the ones, the 70 that have been set up according to Deuteronomy 1, 15 through 16, and Numbers 11, 16 through 17, that were spirit-filled men that God had given to help Moses administer the rule. Now they're helping Joshua. So he goes to them and says, get ready. He goes throughout, you're going to need to go throughout the camp, these millions, probably about 2 million people, and get them ready to go. And they're going to do this in chapter 3, verse 2. He commands them to prepare the people to get their provisions. And this is going to be especially important because the manna is about to stop. We find this from chapter 5, verse 11. When they get into the land and they start eating from the land, the manna is done. Now, God in His providence has orchestrated the exact time for them to enter the land is, guess what? Harvest time. According to chapter 3, verse 15. God knew exactly all these details. But He tells them, get ready to go. Take what you need. And they're going to be crossing over. Well, He says 3 days. Now, it's going to be actually more like a week because unforeseen to them is the spies are going to be delayed a few days in chapter 2, verse 22. They have to hide out another 3 days longer. And so then you have 3 days plus 3 days and probably the Sabbath there. And then so a week later, they're actually entering the land. But it's 3 days to get ready, as chapter 3, verse 2 tells us. And notice it is to go into and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, did they deserve this gift? No. In fact, of all people, they didn't really deserve it. But isn't that an evidence of God's grace? Just another reminder what God does. He gives us what we don't deserve. Not because of us, right? But it's because of Him and His gracious gift. So last week, I've been thinking, recently about, I'm on the tree board, and we have planting or work days, and I'm always a little paranoid because you got to have all the stuff with you because you don't have time to go grab it, right? So I usually over-prepare and get all the tools out, make sure I'm wearing the right clothes, make sure I have plenty to drink because invariably it's hot those days, right? So you're prepared for those. We had a big activity this last week and took out a bunch of mulch in the park and gazebo and the signs and put in river rock and plus a bunch of mulching and trimming and other things. All right, you want to be prepared for that. Are you prepared to obey what God has called you? Are you getting ready? Are you getting equipped to carry out the great commission of making disciples? Right? This clear command from God that we are to make disciples. How? By going. Don't wait for them to come to you. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? That's where you identify with Christ and His people. And then teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And the encouragement there that He's with us, as we've been talking about. Are we prepared to do that? Do you know how to go about and do that? Because otherwise, it's aim at nothing, hit it every time, right? I mean, if you don't know what your main job is, you're going to get distracted by all these other things. And some of those are good things, right? I mean, it can be, having a great worship service. There can be, building big, churches or lots of comfortable things. But is that our main job? I mean, this can contribute to it. But our main job is making disciples. Let's not lose sight of that. Are you ready to do that? Now, do you realize this starts with you becoming a disciple yourself? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Have you recognized your sin? These ABCs. I was reminded of this again this week. Admit you've sinned, as Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The second step, believe on Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save you. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then thirdly, see, confess Christ publicly. Right? If you believe in your heart, or confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. As Romans 10:9-10 says. Those are on our track record over there if you want to pick those up. Just simple as that. Have you done that? And then are you preparing to obey your Lord and Master overall? The one who has commanded you to do this. And not just obey some of His commands, but to observe all as He challenged Joshua, and we were challenged as well from Matthew 28:20. Are we living a sanctified life and ready to give a reason of the hope is in us in meekness and fear? Right, as 1 Peter 3:15 says. Are we ready to do this? Are you prepared to obey? That's the first stage. Second stage, remember your promises in verses 12 through 15 here. And he says, and to the Reubenites, Gadites, half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them, then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. In these verses, Joshua is commanding these three tribes, well, two and a half tribes, right? Reubenites, Gadites, half tribe of Manasseh. And this goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, and Numbers 32. When they had captured this land from Bashan and others there, and these tribes, which had a lot of livestock, said, hey, this is great, we'll take this. And Moses is like, not unless you promise to help the rest of the tribes get their inheritance. Right? So that was the gist of his command. And as their leader, they listened, and notice what Joshua points out. He says, to give you rest, this idea of shalom, that's the Jewish greeting is shalom, peace, rest. Right? It's a principle that goes from Genesis chapter 2, where God rests on the Sabbath, the seventh day, it's where the Sabbath came from, and then tells the Israelites to rest. And it's not just a cessation of war, because it does talk later in chapter 21, verse 44 and 23:1. It says that they will have rest in the land because they finally are done fighting. But ultimately, it is the spiritual rest that is the theme that goes throughout Scripture. And the author of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 4 will make a big deal out of this, that there still is a rest. It's not that is available to anyone. It's not just physical, it is spiritual. And it's for anyone who will do what God calls them to do. And when we do, God gives us rest, peace with God and with man. Right? This is the rest that is offered to them and us. Rest, not just from war. Right? And he says, okay, your wives, your little ones, and livestock, that can stay here, but you need to pass over before your brethren. You need to lead the way. And literally, it says as armed, the word there for armed, it's literally orderly ranks of five. That's the word, what the word means. It's the same word that's used in Exodus 13:18 to describe how they left Egypt. They didn't leave Egypt and on the run, a bunch of scared slaves, ex-slaves. No, they walked out as a conquering army, carrying the spoils of Egypt with them. God leading them every step of the way. Now, unfortunately, they kind of lost that attitude and perspective in the desert. But he's saying, you need to lead the way. In fact, they will in chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. 40,000 of them will cross over. Now, not all the men. It seems to be the best ones, the elite troops go, maybe even rotation of the group, because there's 110 capable men, according to Numbers chapter 26, 7, 18, and 34. So it could be rotating groups over the years, but 40,000 are the ones that lead the way to help their brethren. In fact, they're some of the ones that are sent to take Ai, the shock troops. The best troops. To help their brethren gain the rest that they already have received. To share in this. Do what they have promised to do. What they told Moses he said they would do. And then they could go home and enjoy their rest. remember your promises. One of the great benefits of a smartphone is that you can use your calendar to remind you of things. This has become a lifesaver for me. In fact, recently I realized that some of my reminders for some of your birthdays was falling out of my phone because I've had it in there. Initially, you could only set it for like 10 years. I've had a calendar that long now that it was ceasing to remind me of that. And it was like, oh no, I missed their birthday. I missed this. Right? Scary when you're starting to miss important dates. Reminding me of things that I needed to do. Are you remembering your promises to God and others? What about the promise to your spouse that you'd be faithful in sickness and in health? That you would love them no matter what? What about your family? That you would love your children, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What about your commitments to the church? You know, we talk about our church covenant. Those are promises we make to one another that we will help each other, aid each other in sickness and distress, to pray for each other, to give to the church, to help the poor, to all these. And even as we this week celebrated our freedoms, to think about your commitments to our country. We're called to pray for a king, our leaders, and all those in authority, so we can live the way God calls us to, that we have responsibilities of voting and paying taxes. That is a responsibility, according to Romans 13. But it's easy to forget about those things. Are you staying true to those promises, no matter who is in charge or what has happened? It's easy to submit when things are going well, right? It's the challenge comes when it's you don't like who's the one leading. Maybe you have an unmarried spouse or unsaved spouse, right? That is not doing what God calls. And this is where 1 Peter 3 helps give direction. So when the kids are being difficult, they're being selfish, are you going to keep leading the way God calls you to, or are you going to revert to the flesh? When the church family isn't loving you as you think they should, maybe they're not, you know, showing up. They're not serving like they should. Maybe your marriage, you've grown older, sickness, the strain of the finances, and all these challenges. Will we be faithful to what we have said we will do? Do you realize we are called to be like God, not others? Others who fail. 2 Timothy 2:13 says that even when we are faithless, He is faithful. And I'm thankful for a God who keeps His promises even when we don't. Are you being faithful even when it is not to your advantage? Psalm 15:4, when you swear to your own hurt, do you keep it? God's looking. He's watching. Are you going to be faithful to your promises? Actually, what's part of our church covenant? Faithful to our engagements. When you commit to something, do you do it? I'm thankful for many of you that I was reminded of this even last night. Somebody cleaned the church, right? I left, things were dirty. I came back later and it was clean. I didn't have to remind. Like, that's good, right? That is being faithful. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, as Jesus says. Do you understand that this is the only way to true rest? Doing things God's way, not our way. That's selfishness. That only leads to pain, suffering, and death. But it is doing what God wants that leads to life and eternity. Are you remembering your promises? That's the second stage. Third stage, heed the commands in verses 16 through 18. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as He was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Here the officers of the people are answering Joshua, promising to do all that he has commanded. Now we've heard that before, right? If you go back to Exodus 24, they said the same thing when Moses first gave the Ten Commandments, right? Yeah, we'll do it all. How'd that pan out? Well, you remember that golden calf incident? That didn't come very much farther after the giving of the Ten Commandments. In fact, Moses didn't even get down off the mountain before he realized they'd broken them. Numbers 32, verse 25, they say, yeah, we'll do it. Ironically, back in Numbers 25, they had been committing harlotry with the Moabite women. They had promised to do this. It's easy. Words are cheap, right? It's the action that costs. And I love what they say. All that you command us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. That's scary, right? We're going to obey you just like we obeyed Moses. Well, that didn't pan out so well. I think Joshua thinking, oh wow, this is great. This is gonna be great. But they do follow it up with, only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. They're requesting that God be with them, because I think they know enough to realize we need help in this, right? God helped Moses, we want him to help you, because that's where the hope is. And there is some faith in this. And this will be proved true in chapter 4, verse 14. You know, God is with him just like he was with Moses. Similar to Joshua's or Jonathan's prayer, 1 Samuel 20:13, as he prays for David, that God be with him. And then they promise to execute whoever rebels, doesn't listen, doesn't obey the commandments. And this they do, right? In chapter 5, chapter 7, you're going to have the whole Achan incident. And they do execute someone who disobeys. They won't tolerate sin. Now, that doesn't last, but they start out well. And they have this intention to obey, to heed the commands. And then they finish with this, only be strong and of good courage. God has encouraged Joshua. Now they seek to encourage him as well. And we all need that encouragement, right? To do what God has commanded us. You know, it's easy to get frustrated with a computer or a phone when it's not doing what you think you're telling it to do. But you know what? You realize your phone or your computer, it only does what it is told to do. It really doesn't have a mind of its own. Contrary to my dad swore sometimes that it was of the devil. But, you think that it's just out to spite you. It is only doing what it's programmed to do. Now, you have to figure that out and find where the program needs to be changed to do what you want it to do rather than what it's been doing, which commands it has been following. Are you heeding the commands that God has given you? Here's an example. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 8. Just reminded this again. God commands us that we, through Jesus Christ, Paul is commanding, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. You should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. And that no one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also forewarned you and testify, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but reject God, who has given us this is Holy Spirit. That's just one example, right? Where God gives us instructions. Do we really heed that? Especially in the midst of a culture that has gotten so sexualized. Well, we do what God, and we're going to be different. Even as we're talking in Sunday school, flipping things on his head. Are we heeding what God commands, or are we still following the commands, the old commands of Satan? The lust of the flesh and of the mind, as Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Romans 6, we're going back to our sin when we've been set free. We shouldn't do that. Should we continue in sin that God, grace may abound? God forbid. How can we who died to sin live any longer in it? This shouldn't be true of us. Don't give in to the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, because those are passing away, as 1 John 2, 15 through 17 says. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. That's what we should want. Do you realize that this is really rebellion which God will judge? Right? Hebrews 13:3 says, the marriage bed is honor above all, but adulterers and fornicators God will judge. Just one example. But when we do what God calls us, there's blessings now. And it'll judge in eternity, right? It can keep you out of heaven if you keep going down your road, as Revelation 22:15. I'm not saying we lose our salvation, but when you are committed to your way, that's showing your heart is not right with God. And you need to repent of that. 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 10. You know, we looked at this in Sunday school. The list of sins. This is the unrighteous. Right? That's the real problem. It's the heart that's not right. And that's what keeps you out of eternity. Will you not only say you will obey God's commands, but actually do so? There's a parable Jesus tells in Matthew 28 through 32 of two sons. And the father goes to one son and says, "Hey, will you go do this?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure, Dad." And he doesn't do it. And he goes to the second son. The son says, "No way, Dad, I'm not doing that." And he's like, "Fine, I'm going to go do it." And he does it. And he asks this question, which one did the will of his father? Was it the first son? No. It's the second son, the one who said he wouldn't, but he did it. See, it's the actions that prove it. Is that you? Jesus says in Matthew 3:8, to bear works worthy of repentance. So that means you earn your repentance, right? But because you have repented, it shows itself in your works. Like Acts 20, verse 26 says. Or 26, verse 20. Do you realize if you're truly saved, then your life will show it. You will be a new creation in all areas. New life, new priorities. It all will change. Will you stop tolerating sin in your life and be willing to submit all of your life to Christ? You have a new mind, which shows itself in your uniting with Christ and a willingness to put to death the deeds of the flesh and to put on the new man to be like Jesus Christ. Will you encourage others by your obedience to our Lord, not discourage them with disobedience? Hebrews 12, right? Surrounded with this cloud of witnesses. This should encourage us to do the right thing, just like Jesus, who sets the example, rather than be like those who Esau and others who, because of their selfishness, their self-centered life, they discourage, make the hands hang down, as it describes it. Don't be like that. Don't be like the one who discourages, but instead encourage by your obedience. Are you heeding the commands? How many of you have managed people before? It can be a frustrating experience, right? Actually, all of you should have your hands up, because how many of you have had kids, right? All right. If you've had kids, then you've managed people. That can be really frustrating when you give instructions and they don't get followed. Go clean your room. 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, right? Or you've told people how to do it and they come up with their own way of doing it, or they don't do it, or they don't show up, right? They don't listen to their plan. They don't respond to the emails. Even managing volunteers can be frustrating. All right? I'm in Lions Club and Tree Board. And Tree Board's great. Lions Club can be a little frustrating at times. But, there's this reality of people, right? Are they going to do what they're asked to do? Are you doing what God commands? Or are you likely frustrating Him at times? Remember this. God has ways of making you obey. And they are not pretty at times, right? Don't be made to obey. Are you preparing to obey? Remembering your promises and heeding the commands. Will you do what God commands? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage. Pray that we'd be challenged to do what you command us to do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.